Hi, we're JT Media. I'm Thomas.
And I'm Jack.
And we bring you the latest in sports news.
From MMA to soccer.
And NFL to NBA. All right, so we're going to be kicking off at JT Media number 14 with an NFL section. Some big trades and signings that I kind of covered over the weekly update, but we want to go fully in depth so they could keep it for the podcast. So the big one that is two of the big ones that have happened are both with wide receivers. First with Antonio Brown being traded to the Oakland Raiders for a third and fifth round pick.
Yeah, this one was huge. Antonio Brown, I feel like this trade was kind of leading up to happen. I feel like it kind of had to happen. And I feel like the Raiders kind of got a bit of a steal for a player with the talent of Antonio Brown for just a third and fifth round pick. But at the same time, with the way the Raiders have shown, they haven't been functional the past season. And adding Antonio Brown to that, I don't know if it fixes it or if it makes it worse, because he was complaining about Ben Roethlisberger and Derek Carr hasn't been himself as late.
Yeah, and I think most of Antonio Brown's complaints with Ben Roethlisberger were just because Ben Roethlisberger, we've seen it talked about multiple times with the story just coming out that he intentionally fumbled a ball towards the end of the game to spite their offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. And I think it's the difference in personality from Ben Roethlisberger to Derek Carr. Like, we saw there's videos that the Raiders and Antonio Brown put out where Antonio Brown went to Derek Carr's house and they hugged and, you know, got a tour of the house and all that kind of stuff. So I do think that it'll be a good marriage between those two, but I don't know how he's going to deal with not being on a winning team for at least this season.
Right.
Because they're in a really tough division and not really in a position to make a deep run into the playoffs like he was with the Steelers. But I do think this move was good for Antonio Brown. I just wish that the Raiders got more stuff for him, because what they got was very, very, very below market value, which leads us into a player that did go for market value. Maybe could have gone for way more, but I think this is probably the bare minimum. Odell Beckham Jr. was traded to the Cleveland Browns for a first-round pick, third-round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers. Like I said, this was probably the lowest amount that the Browns could offer to still – get the Giants to maybe bite.
This was crazy. And what a steal by the Browns, too. And I feel like OBJ kind of wanted to go to the Browns. Of any team that he could have possibly been traded to, the Browns would be that team, because they have Jarvis Landry, an up-and-coming quarterback who likes to throw it down. Steal by the Browns, and I think OBJ wanted to go there, too. Just an overall fantastic trade on this one. And I think the Browns are really looking like a strong playoff contender.
Yeah, I mean, because like you said, he's going to a team with a young quarterback who's pretty flashy, kind of the guy that is 100% an upgrade from Eli Manning. He's in an offense that after eight games this year will have Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, maybe Duke Johnson if they don't trade him. They'll have David Njoku at tight end. Wow. At receiver, they'll have him, Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway. A really solid offensive line. Even though they traded away Kevin Zeitler, they have Austin Corbett coming in. It's just a really, really, really solid team in a division where the Steelers are on the decline. We don't know what the Ravens are. The Bengals are the Bengals.
Exactly.
And the Browns are the Vegas favorites to do it. And they have some of the top odds in the league to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So this is where we went from two seasons ago, talking about them going to 0-16, to now them being legitimate AFC contenders. It's insane.
It is truly insane. And one of the crazy things about this, too, is the fact that they are stacked on offense, and everybody knows that, and especially in this league nowadays, having an offense is almost more important than a defense, like what we saw with the Chiefs last year and everything, the way that the league is changing. But their defense is not too shabby either. They still have Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, and they're not bad at all with Denzel Ward playing a defensive back for them. They are a legitimate contender. This isn't just like flashy players. OBJ has already had a really good chemistry with Jarvis Landry. He knows him. And Baker Mayfield, they've already got together, and they're already going to have a lot of fun. This just seems like a really, really good team, especially that these moves are happening before the draft. They're going to have so much time to get used to each other, and the chemistry should be up before the season. Oh, man, I cannot wait to watch them play.
Right, and this defensive line, this is something that I don't think we can stress enough. They have Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon at defensive end. And then they have Larry Ogunjobi, who's very, very, very good.
He's good.
Sheldon Richardson, who's also very good.
Oh, yeah.
They have a solid linebacker core. They have Emmanuel Ogba they can use as trade bait. It's just a really, really, really poised for success team. And if they were going to trade a pick in a draft, it would be this draft.
Right.
This is a very, very, very deep defensive class, especially at corner and defensive line, where they can go pick a guy in the second round that, you know, may have first round value. They could even trade up, you know, in the second round to go get that guy, Greedy Williams and Byron Murphy, if they slide out of the first round, which some think they might. It's very possible that the Browns could make a move up into the early second, late first round to pick them and pair him with Denzel Ward, which would be incredible.
Right.
This is just a great move, and this is all done by John Dorsey, off the work of the ammunition provided to him by their former GM, Sashi Brown, kind of like with Sam Hinkie for the 76ers. He died for our sins. This is the same thing that Sashi Brown did for the Browns, and this is a – if you want to look at the bigger picture of it, it's kind of showing you in sports now that to be good, you have to be bad for a couple years. You know, the Eagles were bad for a long time, and after Andy Reid left, we had Chip Kelly. And then now we're once again NFC contenders like we were in the early 2000s. And, you know, 76ers, they traded away all their players and were awful for 4 or 5 years, then used all that ammunition just like the Browns to become a really solid team. So I think that, you know, even as we are right now, in 3 or 4 years, we could be talking about the Cardinals and the Dolphins. Those can be two teams that we see because they're pretty much tanking right now. And that'll be interesting to see, I think.
Yeah. The only team I wouldn't really put up there would be the Giants as of now, because made no effort to keep any of their players besides Eli Manning. And they just don't seem like a team that would really be coming up anytime soon. I think they might be bad for the next 3 or 4 years before they start figuring stuff out, the way they've traded everybody away.
Right. And I mean, the way that the Giants are going, they let Landon Collins go. They could have franchise tagged him for $11 million. Instead, they let that relationship deteriorate and then didn't bring him back. They traded away a talented receiver in the NFL alongside with Devontae Adams and DeAndre Parker. DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham Jr., and they didn't keep him, and they have Saquon Barkley, who's a running back, who are some of the least durable players in the league. If no matter how you spin it, they're not going to last a long time at a high level. And they have Evan Ingram, who's a talented tight end, but he's a tight end. You can't carry a team off of that.
Right.
It's just a big mess over there, and they have an undying loyalty to Eli Manning because he won them 2 Super Bowls. You know, 5 years ago.
Right. It's,
you know, not worth it to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And what's just crazy to me is that the Giants are spending money in some places and not spending it in other places.
Especially where they need the other places. Now they need wide receivers. Right. They had a good wide receiver. They could have been building up their defense and trading more defensive players away. It's really like the Raiders of last year, except for they're not getting any good draft picks off. It's just worse.
Right. You could have gotten, I am sure, they could have pressed the Browns for maybe the better of their third-round picks, at least. Like, they didn't even get the best Browns third-round pick in that trade. I think they could have gotten a first and a second, maybe even a first this year and a first next year for OBJ. But they didn't. And then they proceeded to go out and sign Golden Tate, who's a number two or slot receiver.
Yeah, he's not a number one.
He's not a number one guy. And they already have Sterling Shepard, who's a top-class slot guy. I don't know what they're doing. It makes me happy as an Eagles fan to see them just making dumb decisions. It's like it's like a little brother going on to Madden and trying to rebuild the team. And you just accidentally trades away your best player. It doesn't make any sense. It's, they don't have any actual direction that we can point out. And like we, like Dave Gettleman said that the Giants GM, that they didn't sign Odell Beckham Jr. to trade him. And then that's exactly what they proceeded to do when they could have traded him last offseason for a higher value and had less dead cap because of it. And then today said that he doesn't think Eli Manning's overpaid when he very obviously is.
I feel like it wasn't even in, like, reality, or, like, it wasn't even a possibility that OBJ would be traded last season, though. That's what's so crazy about this. The Browns have been tanking for the last two seasons, and this is just the worst possible thing you could do is trade your best player. It's just terrible from the Giants. Terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, what's crazy about it is that there were rumblings that he was going to be traded last year, maybe to the Patriots or 49ers or a team like that. But then he just, out of nowhere, they decided to keep him, which is a smart decision. You either trade him for a high value or you don't trade him at all and keep him and, you know, have a really solid player still. They signed the extension, made a good decision, and then proceeded to this year backtrack on that and trade him away, which is – it's just not a smart decision. It's not a decision where – with like the Browns did where they traded away all their players to get picks, or what the Eagles did where they traded away all their players to get picks. You know, same thing with the Rams, and et cetera, where the Giants traded away their best player for – a mid-level first-round pick, where you're not going to get a player as good as Odell Beckham, and then a later third-round pick, which isn't even, like I said, the Browns' best third-round pick.
Right.
This was a steal by John Dorsey to get him for that amount. I would have done that trade 10 times out of 10 if I was the Browns. And it doesn't make much sense for the Giants unless – he had demanded a trade just like Antonio Brown. I think they would have gotten the same value.
Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, I mean, that's something that wouldn't even work on Madden, what they did. It's crazy. All right, moving on, Ryan Tannehill got traded to the Titans.
Right, this is an interesting deal. They moved him from the Dolphins. They restructured his contract. He restructured his contract with the Titans, and now they have a really solid backup who I think is a, you know, average quarterback at best. But have we really seen anything but bigger than average for Marcus Mariota? So I think this is a good move by the Titans. Mariota has shown injury concerns, so this may be good to have a really, really, really good backup. I think he's way better than Blaine Gabbert, who was their previous backup. My question is, I'll give you a something they do on NFL Network sometimes. What would be your – if I had to put Ryan Tannehill starting 6.5 games, where you take the over or the under on that? More than 6.5 starts or less than 6.5 starts?
I'm going to say less, but I think he'll make 4 or 5. I think he'll make 4 or 5. I think he's going to trade off with Marcus Mariota throughout the season, just based on productivity or injury. I think he'll make 4 starts, though. 4 or 5.
That's a good number. Just because Mariota got hurt so much last year, and we can see Tannehill taking that starting job just by being a better player.
Right. But I don't see him like completely winning the job over Mariota, though. I think Mariota's younger and more talented than Ryan Tannehill is. But if you're going to have a backup, Ryan Tannehill is the best backup you can find besides a man named Nick Foles, who's no longer a backup.
Right. I definitely agree with that. All right, moving on. Le'Veon Bell, former Steelers, signed a contract with the Jets. He's officially free and now on a team that he could choose. He ended up signing with them for less money than the Steelers offered him, which makes you wonder if it really was that he just didn't want to be in Pittsburgh anymore, or if it was actually about the money, at which point him sitting out of here was a fail. What do you think about this move by the Jets?
So, great move by the Jets, first off, to go ahead and pick him up. I know he definitely had some beef with the Steelers, right? There's no questioning that. But I really do think it was about the money, except for nobody wants to pay him that much. And then the Jets come up with, I bet, which was the highest offer that he could receive. And then he signed with them because that's the highest offer he was going to get. I think a lot of it did have to do with the beef, but I think he really did want to get paid more. And then that backfired on him. And now he's signed with the Jets. But still a great move by the Jets to get a running back with Sam Darnold.
Right, and I think that's important for a young quarterback, but I'm wondering, we'll kind of combine two of the segments here. This is a comparison that a lot of people have been making. Would you rather, so there was rumors that the Jets or the Ravens would go after Le'Veon Bell. This is a comparison that someone made that, would you rather have Le'Veon Bell or Mark Ingram and Earl Thomas?
Mark Ingram, Earl Thomas, hands down.
Right. You could have paired Sam Darnold with Tevin Coleman, who's a great receiving back, just like Le'Veon Bell. You don't have to pay a ton of money and doesn't have the same character concerns. Or you could have paid Mark Ingram. Or you could have paid any of those established guys that we like. Or you could have traded for Duke Johnson. You could have, you know, maybe even picked up Kareem Hunt and let him serve out his suspension. Like, maybe you could have outbid him over the Browns.
Right.
There's
a lot of things.
It's interesting that the Jets decided to do that. It's a good move. I don't disagree that that was something they should have done, but I wonder, was there a better option for the state of their team than Le'Veon Bell? I don't even know if you get a running back yet. Like I said earlier about Saquon Barkley, he's not going to last you forever. He's not the same kind of foundational piece that an amazing offensive lineman or a good tight end or, you know, a slot receiver can give you. It's just ends up being that they're kind of there for maybe 3, 4, 5 years at their prime, and then they're gone.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing to look at with Le'Veon Bell is, do they think that he can be durable for another 3, 4, 5 years?
Right. And going back to what you said, what the Jets could have done is get an established, proven guy in Mark Ingram, Kareem Hunt, Tevin Coleman. Mark Ingram I would rank above Kareem Hunt and Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman because of skill, Kareem Hunt because of the allegations. Or no longer allegations, but you know what I mean. Mark Ingram did so good with the Saints, and they couldn't re-sign him, of course. But to go get Mark Ingram would have been so much better. He has way more experience, and he can fit into an offense very well. He's power, but he also has speed. I feel like that would have been better than Le'Veon Bell. Or maybe Le'Veon Bell's more talented, but he definitely would have been less of a distraction, and he definitely would have accepted it for less money, leaving more money to sign more players.
Right, and I don't think it's necessarily that Le'Veon Bell, he is established. He is amazing. He is a top five running back in the league. But you can't just – I don't think you can justify paying that much money for a guy that, you know, he's going to help Sam Darnold develop. And, you know, if they do end up being amazing because of the partnership that Darnold and Bell develop, I'll be eating my words. But wouldn't he have been a better fit with a team that could be – poised to win now, like maybe the Ravens? They could be getting out of that division if they had him. He could have gone to the Eagles. Personally, I wouldn't have minded if he went there, but, you know, I wouldn't have been ecstatic either. He could have gone to the Colts, where he would have been in a great position to win now. I would have liked that move a lot more, even though they have Marlon Mack. It's just it's a lot of moves that I think maybe Le'Veon Bell, if he was committed to winning, wouldn't end up in New York. I think Mark Ingram or Tevin Coleman would fit there in the short term, and then they could draft a guy once Sam Darnold gets a little bit more developed, along with that veteran, to let them, you know, kind of pair together. I mean, right. In the end, it will make Darnold better. It will make the Jets better, but at what cost, I think, is the thing that everyone is wondering.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Ravens signings. They made two really, really, really big moves. They signed Mark Ingram, the former New Orleans Saints running back that we were just talking about, and Earl Thomas, the former Seahawks safety that we were just talking about. What is your opinion on this move?
So as crazy as this sounds, I think this is what's going on. The Ravens, and this happened relatively quickly after the OBJ signing, keep that in mind. I think the Ravens were making sort of important but also kind of desperate moves to keep up with the Browns and their division. As crazy as that sounds, I think that's what's going on here, because they traded away four key guys on their defense, right? They signed one of the best safeties, if not the best safety in the NFL, Earl Thomas. Has been proven. He's amazing. Great signing, although injury-prone, but it was a risk they had to take. And they also need a running back, so they got Mark Ingram. I just think that the way – I think they're good signings overall, and I think they're two very good players. But I think that they did it at a time to really – I feel like they didn't want to rush it, but I feel like they were kind of – feeling that they needed to before some other team took those players so that they could keep up with the Browns in their division.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just that they made moves to try and help Lamar Jackson. And I think they will be solid this year. They are obviously division contender along with the Browns, but the Browns just have a better roster. And I do think that the Ravens have a better head coach, and but the thing is that you can't make two signings to completely revamp your team. Eventually, you have to take a step back and say, are these actually helping us in the long run? Because I would rather, you know, wait 2 years and then be winning for 3 or 4 than win for a year now. It's something that I think the people in the organization have to look at, and something that we can't comment on right now. Maybe there's a guy they really, really like in the draft that we don't know about.
Right.
Maybe they're trying to make another big move. We would have no idea, but I do think that, like you said, they are trying to keep pace with the Browns, but only in the same sense that they want to take a little bit of a window that they have right now, because the Browns aren't Super Bowl contenders right now.
Right.
But the Ravens, I think, are trying to be, even though they won't be. So they're trying to take this window, and they're trying to compete in the same window as the Browns, which I don't know if that's the right move.
Right, but yeah, you know, I agree with you, yeah, 100% on that.
All right, and now two more backup signings. Teddy Bridgewater signed with the Saints to back up Drew Brees for another 2 years, I believe. There were certain concerns if he would re-sign with them after rumors surfaced that Teddy Bridgewater, Sean Payton, may be going to the Cowboys at the end of the season to replace Jason Garrett. So that was a grumbling that was happening in the organization. However, it does not seem as that is true, as Teddy Bridgewater has re-upped with the Saints. What do you think about this?
So I really like this move. I feel like the Saints and Sean Payton were trying to set up Teddy Bridgewater as the next guy for Drew Brees. And I think I think the way they're setting it up, it'll work. But you never know. That's kind of far down. I think the part that – and Teddy Bridgewater loves him. The fans love him there in New Orleans. But I feel like the reason he wanted to leave and go to the Dolphins originally was because he thought that Sean Payton was going to be going to the Cowboys. And I think that Sean Payton might have had a private conversation saying that that's probably not going to happen. And he's going to want to stick with Sean Payton and hopefully take over the Saints offense once Drew Brees retires.
Right. I completely agree. All right, moving on. Blake Bortles just today signed with the Los Angeles Rams to back up Jared Goff. What do you think about this move?
I mean, I think it's good. The backup quarterback position is becoming increasingly stacked in the league now that the offense is getting big. I don't really know. I think the Browns, the Rams needed a better backup quarterback, and they got him with Blake Bortles. So I don't think he's going to be challenging Jared Goff for his position or anything. I just think he's going to kind of be there.
Right. And I mean, it's a solid backup. If Goff goes down, I think Bortles can be successful in that offense with Sean McVay. So hopefully Goff doesn't go down, but if he does, I think the Rams will be pretty okay.
Yep. So I think that does it for our NFL section. Next up is soccer. Okay, now we're on to the soccer section. We're going to get us some Champions League news. The round of eight, or the quarterfinal draw, was drawn a couple days ago. The first two games were Tottenham, Man City, Liverpool, Porto. The second two were Ajax versus Juventus, Manchester United versus Barcelona. Tommy, what are your predictions for these games?
All right, so I'm just going to go pretty quickly through them. Man City will knock out Spurs just because Man City's so much better. They're more well-coached roster, and it'll just be way easier for them to get through. Tottenham has obviously not had much European success, so I'm looking forward to see what they can do. Liverpool versus Porto. I think Liverpool will beat Porto, obviously. Liverpool is also very good. Porto is not anywhere close to the same level, so I do really like Porto to get knocked out, Liverpool to advance. To play the winner of Man City or Man United versus Barcelona. I do think that this will be a very, very good tie. However, Barcelona will advance. I can't realistically predict that Man United get that far. I do think that it will be very close, and I'm going to say Barcelona gets through on away goals. And then Ajax versus Juventus. Juventus will go through against Ajax. What Ronaldo did versus Atletico Madrid, there's no way he doesn't repeat that against Ajax.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on all of these. Man City's more talented than Tottenham. Liverpool is just an all-around better team than Porto and has more experience. Ajax, they pulled off a miracle, but Juventus is on another level right now. Manchester United versus Barcelona, I think that'll be a close one, but Barcelona, the team is just so talented, and Manchester United are still in one of the toughest league, or the toughest league in Europe, possibly the world. I think the world, definitely the world, and they still have to deal with that. I think Barcelona, just because of also the experience in being in this area, will go through.
Right, I completely agree. It's just how it's going to go. I mean, the better team pretty much wins in the Champions League. I mean, minus where Real Madrid was knocked out by Ajax.
That was fantastic, yeah.
That's just kind of how the season's been going. Speaking of Real Madrid, Zinedine Zidane.
Wow.
Is back with them.
That's crazy. Yeah,
I did not expect that to happen. I think it's a great move, and I think Zidane got the best out of those players. And you could see him coming back in his first game. They destroyed, and they were very, very, very good. And the guys that he brought back into the starting lineup all played very well.
Yeah, I think Courtois is going to be gone within the next transfer market next season. I can't see him staying. I cannot see him staying. And I like that. I think Navas has proven he's the better goalkeeper at Real Madrid. I really do, and he has the more trust. Oh man, ooh.
That's true.
What is going to happen all now? Right. Crazy.
Moving on in the segments. City versus Liverpool for the Premier League title. Will Liverpool once again miss out on hardware despite being very good? Or will they finally triumph over the oil money Manchester City? What do you think as a Liverpool fan?
It'll come down to Manchester City versus Manchester United, I believe. If Manchester United beat Man City, I believe Liverpool will win the title. And if City tie, I think Liverpool will still win the title just because of the other games and stuff. But I'm going to say my prediction is Liverpool will win because I think Manchester United will go all people forward against City and somehow upset the champs.
Yeah, Man City does have games against Spurs and Man United left. So those are two pretty big places they could drop points. Liverpool does not seem to have as tough of a schedule, though they do have to play Chelsea pretty soon. And that could be and they also have to play Spurs. So that could be a two games that they could drop points in, though I do not think they will drop against either. And I really don't know if Man City will drop against either as well. It'll just come down to who can execute against the smaller teams and who can actually play up to their level against the big teams, because they are the two best teams in the league, even if I don't want to say it.
Yeah.
You know, right now Liverpool is 2 points ahead Man City does have a game in hand and has six more goals on goal difference. So it'll be interesting to see. Liverpool really, really needs to pick it up.
Yep. All right, over to the Bundesliga, another close one. Bayern Dortmund, who do you have?
I do think this will be really interesting. They are currently even on points, even on games played. However, Bayern is ahead by seven away goals. So I do think we have to look at take Bayern here, even if we want the underdogs Dortmund to win. It's all their games have been close. They have six draws, which is three more than Bayern, and they have one less, and they have two less losses. So it's just to be interesting to see what they end up doing. But I do think Bayern will triumph in the Bundesliga once again.
Yeah, I wish Dortmund would win, but now Bayern's out of the Champions League, and what is there left to win? So I think they're going to go all hands forward, and they're used to winning the league every year. They are clutch at this time, and I think they're going to beat Dortmund, sadly.
Yep, I agree.
All right, that about does it for our soccer section. Next up is MMA. All right, now we're on to the MMA section, and I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here. UFC makes ESPN. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I interject really quick? This segment will be mostly Jack talking. I will interject when I can, but I'm just going to preface this segment with that. All right, continue with your rant.
All right. UFC made a huge announcement today. ESPN Plus is the only place now to buy UFC pay-per-views. All right. Some thoughts on this. ESPN Plus has been recently known as the home for MMA, basically, which is, to me, and it's a lot of the older fans, a lot of the OG fans of the UFC, it's kind of an insult because it's making the UFC a second-tier sport. And I think Dana White and the UFC have brought this on themselves by signing this deal. It's putting other sports in front of the UFC rather than putting it on mainstream television. And it's going to bring the ratings further down, especially on pay-per-views, when you have to buy those. Now bars can't even buy them because they would have to turn it over to a streaming service on their TV, which would already have to have ESPN Plus, and then they would have to pay for it again. So that would be, if let's say you just had two TVs, if you're paying $6 a month for the ESPN Plus, plus $70 for the pay-per-view, that would be $76, which if you just had it on cable would just be $70 or $65 if it was in non-HD. People aren't going to do that. People just don't want to watch ESPN Plus because it screws other UFC fight fans out of fight nights that they would have gotten on Fox for free. It's just such a bad deal, and the UFC is getting so greedy here with all sponsorships and stuff that they're forgetting about the fans who are and the UFC is not spreading the brand any further by doing this. They're making it a specialized thing, making it officially a second-tier sport. It's just they're also losing fans over to Bellator and ONE Championship because people don't want to pay to see this. Fox had more coverage. They had more content. They had pre-fight shows, weigh-ins, post-fight shows. All of that is on ESPN Plus now. And us MMA fans, we just don't want to pay for it. And by adding the pay-per-views to ESPN Plus, it's just further spreading apart the older MMA fans from the UFC, making the UFC more of a specialized event. I'm predicting this now. Only the big pay-per-views, like Conor McGregor-level stuff, will get millions of pay-per-view buys from now on. It's going to go from consistently getting millions to now consistently getting hundreds of thousands of views on pay-per-view because of this deal. I do not like it.
Yeah, I don't have much to comment on about this. This is really your domain, but I can tell that many people are upset about this.
Yeah, it was not great. All right, anyways, on to some actual fight news. Jorge Masvidal shot to London by knocking out Darren Till. And then after the fight, got in a bit of a fight, actual punches being thrown against Leon Edwards, who fought earlier in the night. Masvidal, who should he fight next? I think it should be Leon Edwards, even though that's a step back, just because of what happened after that. And then after that, he should take a fight up. That's pretty much all I have to say about that, isn't it?
All right.
Yep, I think that'll do it for our MMA section.
For sure.
That was JT Media number.
Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time on JT Media and on our Instagram at the handle @JT Media Podcast.